Today on Real Radio.
What goes on in our lives after that? After I give my heart to Christ, do I just wait around until I die or till the Lord comes back? No, there is this tremendous work of sanctification in your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? You know, sometimes as a believer, you're going to be asked to give your testimony. Now, if you'll notice, the younger folks, the new believers, will often give, well, let's call it the first half, the conversion story. And those of us that have a few more years under our belt, us seasoned saints, if you will, we eventually realize that coming to faith in Jesus, well, that's just the beginning. That's by no means the end. Why? Well, sometimes the easy way, sometimes the hard way, but that's when the sanctification process begins. Sanctified. It's that 50-cent word that I'm going to let pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs define now, as he explains in this lesson and answers the question, what is sanctification?
And you know that we've been laying this foundation in this series that is entitled, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And we've been talking the last several weeks about salvation. Can you lose it? How do you get it? How is it maintained if it is all maintained? How do you know if you're a goat versus a sheep? How do you know if you're for real, if you're false? Are you a real Christian or not? Well, if you missed it, then get the teachings from last week or go online for the last few weeks and listen in. Because we naturally go from that topic in this series of how do we get from here to heaven to this next topic, and that is what's sanctification? What is sanctification anyway? Now, the amazing thing is, these are real biblical terms, sanctification. A lot of young people today who have not been brought up in either reading their Bibles too much, or maybe they're new to Christ, or they haven't been churched much, they see the word sanctification, and it almost sounds like some sort of a disease. What do you mean, sanctification? What is that word? Well, it is a tremendous word. It is fantastic in the Bible, and we must be a sanctified people. But what does it mean? We'll find out about that tonight. But first, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, because all of this deals with the very act and the reality of sanctification in our lives as Christians. How do we get from here to heaven? Well, we not only have to be saved, that is, believing in Jesus Christ to go to heaven, he's the one that made it possible, but once we make that decision for Jesus Christ, what goes on in our lives after that? After I give my heart to Christ, do I just wait around until I die or till the Lord comes back? No, there is this tremendous work of sanctification in your life. Romans 12, 1. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren. Remember that word, urge. I personally challenge you. I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, you ought to circle that word. Holy, because that is also the word sanctified. Sanctified, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Makes sense. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a process, by the way, of sanctification. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now in this verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Very famous verse, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, sanctify, that is set apart, Christ as Lord. Always be ready, that is prepared because of the fact that you've sanctified Christ in your heart to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. You and I will never grow as Christians unless we experience sanctification in our lives. And I think tonight you'll get a better understanding of what that means. In the 21st century, church, what we're living in right here, right now, listen up. Nobody in this world right now can impress God with big churches. He doesn't care about big churches. In the 21st century, we have got more money, Christianity. We've got more crowds. Look at the churches just in America. Look at the churches in Asia. Look at the churches down in the Singapore regions. Philippines, China, all over the place, churches growing every day. Some of them are gigantic churches. I hear about churches that have up to 200,000 members in Korea. What is going on? Look, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying this. God is not impressed with numbers, nor is he impressed by the numbers of people that are here tonight. That doesn't impress God. In fact, listen, the truth of the matter is if there's more people going to church than ever before around the world in numbers, and if there seemingly is more money floating around in Christianity, because, I mean, there must be, right? People are building monstrosities of buildings, and they're doing all kinds of these things and that things, and the money it takes to turn on a light bulb these days, and all the stuff that's going on. I mean, it must be happening, right? Well, you know what? It looks like it's happening. I don't know. Well, how can we know? Well, we can ask this question. With all that's going on in your life and my life, in this church, in this state, in this nation, in this world, with more and more people, is the culture any better off for it? Question, are Christian marriages staying together? Answer, no. Are Christians graduating from high school and invading the university campuses for Christ? No. They're leaving high school, they're going onto the campuses, and they're getting eaten alive by atheists and by the cults. What in the world is going on? What is happening? Something's wrong. You know what it is? We have not sanctified the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. We talk about stuff. We're going to embark upon this thing, and all that's great. Christian works are fantastic. The world's got to have them. But unless we are sanctifying the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, you guys, we will be just like the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, who had a huge, must have been like a bulletin on Sunday mornings, like a phone book, with all the stuff going on. But Jesus said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. And I fear for the 21st century church. Everything where we should be glowing beautifully, powerfully, doctrine is waning. People don't want to hear the Bible anymore. They want to be excited with just the whole service, worship and message in and out, 55 minutes, because after all, I got to live my life. Give me my God shot so I can be on my way. This is a very dangerous time. Who are we and what are we as a Christian church and as a people? There's little appetite these days for personal Christian growth. It's time that we grow up. It's time that we step into that place of what the Bible talks about, sanctification. And we're going to learn about it tonight. The book of Hebrews, follow along with me. There'll be some of the verses will be on the screens and some of them will not. So you'll just have to do your best. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, let us leave off with the discussions about the elementary principles of Christ and let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. The author of the book of Hebrews is saying all that stuff as believers is foundational. It's basic. Now that we've got that down, let's move on. Let's grow strong in Jesus. All that stuff is behind us because those are the foundational things. So church, are you ready tonight for this? I'm going to give you five things. Five things that are vitally important. How do we get from here to heaven and what's sanctification anyway? Number one, it is this. What is it? What is sanctification? If the Bible says it, what is it? Well, the word sanctification means this, my friends, in the Greek language, both the meaning, by the way, in Hebrew and the Old Testament, Greek and the New Testament, the meaning is exactly the same. It means a purification, a state of purification. It means that it is a holiness, a setting aside, a being apart from, and we'll talk more on that in detail, to be dedicated to. In fact, from that word, we get this word that you all know about, and that's the word saint. Saint, hagios in Greek, the word means this, and listen carefully, it's kind of awesome. The word means sacred, it means holy, it means pure, it means something that has been ceremonially consecrated to God, a saint. This is the amazing thing. People think that saints are somehow voted upon at the Vatican and declared to be saints. Did you know that's nowhere in the Bible? Did you know the Bible says that all those who believe in Jesus Christ and trust him as Lord and Savior are called saints in the Bible? What's your name here tonight? Saint what? Saint Roy? Saint whatever? I'm Saint Jack. You say, how can you say that? That sounds horrible. Wait a minute. Oh, by the way, let me add this. Hagios, I just said the word Hagios, is saint. The only reason why Hagios is saint is because, listen, this is not in my notes, so you have to pay attention to this. H-A-G-O-S is something that is a condemned or something that has been damned to hell. H-A-G-O-S, something that is condemned or damned. Hagios is when you put an I right in between the spelling H-A-I-G-O-S. It goes from a condemned thing to a sacred holy thing. Just because of the great, in my opinion, I'm kind of wiggling this in, but it sounds cool. The great I am, Jesus Christ, steps into a life and takes that which is condemned and makes it saintly. And I don't know how you feel tonight. Do you feel saintly? I'm glad you feel saintly. I don't know what feeling saintly feels like. Honestly, I don't know what it feels like. But I will tell you this, that because God said it, and I know that he's at work in my life, I want to pay attention to his word. Church, check this out. Now, this is not the most profound translation, but it sure is crystal clear on this one. The New Living Translation in 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1:30, not 1:30. Chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. Church, who made us acceptable to God? Jesus did. You got to grab this. Jesus made us acceptable to God. He made us pure. He made us sanctified. And he gave himself to purchase for our freedom. Jesus Christ did that. That's what happens in this thing about sanctification. Now, someone's going to ask the question, and you should ask it. Is sanctification that God declares regarding my life, to better understand it, is it a status? Yes and no. Is it a position? Yes and no. Is it actual? Yes and no. Because we have got to learn tonight, from this moment on, tonight, if we get it, something's going to happen to our lives. Something's going to change. You who are believers tonight in this place, you will either choose to look at the definition and the very theological movement of sanctification from God's perspective or from our perspective. And if you look at it from God's perspective, it's going to rock your world. You are going to get excited. You are going to find out, wow, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All of a sudden, the Bible now becomes crystal clear to me because what God speaks to me in his word into my life is the word of God at work because God is building you a sanctified new creation. He's not wasting his word on you. When Jesus says, if you have faith, pray, and this will happen. He's not joking. But why is there a disconnect in your life and my life about those things that he says? Answer, we do not view God's word and our lives in relation to it from the same perspective that God does. We wind up viewing our lives and God's word and all of us kind of getting together on the human plane, and it's weak and it's beggarly and it's sad. Somebody might say tonight, well, Pastor, slow down, calm down now. We can become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I have never met a person who is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. In fact, the bummer is, in this age that we live in, the church is so earthly minded that it's no heavenly good. This is amazing, and I want to make this clear. I'm not preaching some kind of self-esteem gospel or some claim it, blab it, and grab it word faith thing. I'm telling you as it is about sanctification. It's as though God rolls up his sleeves and says, all right, this is awesome. My son saved this guy. My Holy Spirit's going to mold this guy, and I'm going to preside over the whole thing. God's at work. It's awesome. What is sanctification? Sanctification is a transference of something, watch, from one place to the next. Sanctification. We're going to show some pictures. Let's put a couple pictures up. What is that? What's it for? You sure? Kind of quiet about that. Something tells me you know exactly what it's for. You don't paint a house with that thing. You want to know why? It has been created for a specific purpose. I can honestly say that that knife and that fork is sanctified for a certain use. It is set apart, it is ordained, it is absolutely engineered, created, and designed for a very specific purpose. We all understand that. You don't paint your house with a knife and fork. It's not sanctified to that task. Next slide. That's nice. I don't know what it is, but it's nice. That cannot get you from here to Catalina Island. But it can get you from here to LA. Why? It was designed to get you from here to LA. You cannot go to the island on that or with that car. It's not a boat. It was designed by its creators for a very specific task. And if you try to use it for something else, it's going to absolutely sink. It won't work. Next slide. Oh, yes. We all love them. When we're tired, we sit down. We don't pick it up and run around with it. We use it. The engineers that built that chair had a very specific purpose in mind, and they got the materials together, and they assembled that simple thing, which results in comfort and rest and a purpose. If you were to take that chair and try to convert it into a ladder, who would do that and change a light bulb standing on a chair? And you fall from that thing trying to use it as a ladder. Why? Why would you get hurt falling from that thing? Because you are using something against the purpose for which it was made. Are you with me? You are a human being. And tonight, I don't care right now if you're a Christian or not. You can be sitting here tonight saying, I'm a Martian. I'm from Mars. I don't care. Listen to me. God knows who you are. You were created for a purpose. A very specific purpose. He wants to use you in this life, and you ain't gonna be happy until you are living a life that brings glory to God. Go ahead and try. I've already tried it. We've all tried it in this room. Go try it. You're just gonna wear yourself out. You're gonna go broke, for one thing, and you're gonna get all tired. You're gonna get all thrashed and all messed up, and then you're gonna come right back and you're gonna say, you were right. Of course I was right, because I'm just telling you what the Bible says. God made you to have fellowship with him. You have been sanctified to be a person in fellowship with God, and you're not going to be content, happy, or complete until you meet him. Now, having said that, as a Christian, you will not be fulfilled, you will not be dynamic, you will not be complete until you're serving him in that thing for which you were created. We were being led by worship up here with AJ and the team, and great stuff. I can't do that. They can. They leading, they praising, they worshiping promotes me, excites me to get with them on the way to heaven. The body of Christ, every person has their place. Sanctification is God taking what he has made and setting it to a task. And you'll hear about it tonight. It's not only him setting you to a task. Listen, it's that he takes you out of one place in life and he places you in another. It's coming out of something, in this case, the world. Maybe you're a Christian tonight and you've already come out of the world, but you're apathetic. You're sleepy. You're lazy spiritually. How do I know, Pastor, if I'm lazy? It's a very, very, very simple way to find out. Are you ready? It hurts. Ushers, lock the doors. If you can come to church and leave church and nobody is dependent upon you for anything, if you can come to church for a month and be gone a month and nobody misses you being gone, then you're not contributing to the family of God. I don't care if it's just being a greeter at the front door or even an unofficial greeter who's just a really nice guy saying, hi, welcome to, hey, hi, how are you doing? Come on in, sit down. Hey, listen, if you're something, what role are you playing? Now that Christ has saved you, what role are you playing to strengthen, build up, and bless the body of Christ? If tonight you're saying, I can't think of anything that anybody in the body of Christ is dependent upon me for, nothing. You need to evaluate what you're doing with God's time that he's given you. The easy things are singing and worship. The easy things are giving financially. The easy things are the obvious things. Those things are given. Which leads us to number two. How do we get from here to heaven? And what is this thing about sanctification? Number two is this. Why is sanctification important anyway? I mean, if I'm supposed to be taken from one place to the next place, you know, what's the deal? You guys, it's a big deal because number one, if we don't go from point A to point B, then all we have is religion, and that's not going to work. Why is sanctification important? Because it gets you and I into a place where we begin to experience God more and more. That's what it does. Exodus 13, jot it down. Amazing. I love this stuff. Exodus 13, 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. God is saying everything that comes out, firstborn, out of the female, belongs to me. That child, that goat, that cow, that donkey's dedicated to me. Why? Does God need donkeys? He doesn't need donkeys. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't even need the firstborn of Israel. What is he asking this for? Because God comes first. Do you understand that? You say tonight, well, I don't know, whatever, who cares, just go to the next point. Then listen, you are missing sanctification in your life completely. God's not that big of a deal. Christians, we got to get hot and right and in tune with what God wants to do. And when we begin to see God for who he is, the grandeur of who he is, the awesomeness, then we have a tendency to worship him. We have a tendency to bow down to him. We have a tendency to say things like this, God, I want to grow more with you. I want to grow deeper with you. I want to see more of you. Do not raise your hand. But in your heart, can you say, I want more of God in my life? Man, if you're saying that, God is at work in you, and he's the one, listen, he's the one that put it in your heart. Last Sunday, a young lady came up to me. She started crying, and she said, I've been backslidden. I've been so far from God. I want to come back to God, but I don't think he wants me. And I said, what are you crying for? And she went, what? I said, what are you crying for? Because I want to come back to God. I've been wayward. And I said, listen, you are back, girl. Welcome. Welcome back. I did. I said, welcome back. Look at you. Look at you, you're crying, you're saying, I want to come back, but I don't think he wants me back. Listen, you can't want to come back without him pulling you in, without him wanting you back. He's always wanted you back. Tonight, if you're saying, I want more of God, guess where that came from? He's stirring your heart up. Sanctification's important. Sanctification is God's idea for his people, to take us from one place tonight to the next God stop in our walks with Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that answers the question, what is sanctification? It's an important part of his series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? In fact, what we heard today is just a portion of part 7 in this series, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Real Radio, we've been telling you a lot about our new smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Same title as one of our weekly television programs, by the way. Hey, have you had a chance to download it yet? It's absolutely free. You know, we're always trying to make things convenient for our Real Radio listeners. And the Real Life smartphone app is no exception. All from this one app, you can access things like Journey, that's one of our television programs. You can get the Words to the Wise devotional from Pastor Jack. You can sign up for that and receive via email. You can get our Wednesday night study, which also airs live on hischannel.com. You can also get our Real Radio podcasts and, of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, another one of our weekly TV programs that deals with topical issues of the day and a whole lot more. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. Just go to your app store and download Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, if you missed any of that, you can always catch the info at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.